Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host Shanae, and I'm here with Niece, Bethany, Jade, and Dudley. So this month we're discussing gender-based violence, and last episode we talked about violence with amongst women. But in recent weeks, I don't know if you guys have seen that the Johnny Depp defamation trial against his ex-wife Amber Heard has been the topic of the news, and we wanted to bring forth to the forefront the discussion about men being abused by women. So basically, I'm just going to give like a basic rundown of what was going on. So Amber Heard, in an interview, had stated that she had suffered through domestic abuse before. She didn't specifically say that it was Johnny Depp, but it was kind of alluded that it was him, because obviously she was married to him currently, well, not currently at that time, but that was her last spouse. And he decided to sue her for, I think it's $50 million for a defamation lawsuit, because as a result of her comments, he lost. Disney dropped him from the latest, the latest movie of the Pirates of the Caribbean because of this. And I think he said for the last 2 years, he wasn't really able to get any good gigs. And he basically said that she ruined his career based on these false accusations. So a lot of people were torn. Until now, obviously, it's in court, and I think this trial is supposed to go on for 6 weeks, and a lot of evidence has been resurfacing. Johnny Depp's lawyer actually played a recording of her basically saying that no one was going to believe that he's a domestic abuse survivor because he is a man and all type of things, and he had the actual recording of her saying that, and her face in court was just hilarious to me because she probably didn't expect him to play that. And then also she got called out on something else as well. She posted a photo of a so-called bruise on her face, and it said that she had used Milani's Cosmetics palette to cover up her wound. And her lawyer actually brought the palette to the courtroom and showed it or whatever. And Milani actually came out and said that they didn't release that palette until after her alleged abuse, which she said happened between 2014 and 2016, and the palette that she claimed to use during that time to cover her bruises didn't come out until 2017. So basically she got caught in a lie, and Johnny Depp was telling his story on the stand, and for me it was very sad to see that he had endured this and he had been silent about it, and she decided to come out and play a fake victim and ruin his reputation, basically. I thought that was so sad, and I really felt that for him.
I just think it's so telling that throughout this whole trial, and he did go on trial before this for a I think it was a libel or slander against a newspaper company, and he lost that one. And she tried to slip into that legal matter, but the courts told her no, because that was a matter in a different country and this was in America. But now that we're talking about America, the Me Too movement was strong. I think it probably was strong 2016, 2017. I can't remember exactly when this case started, but it's really telling how it's been very, like, I haven't been hearing lots and lots and lots of news stories about it, and especially in regards to the Me Too movement. I'm very shocked that a lot of people aren't, you know, behind getting the truth and siding with the person. I mean, the evidence that has come out already, the evidence that have come out, they side with Johnny Depp's argument that he was the abused, and sis literally stated that she abused him and nobody would believe him. This is literally the reason why the Me Too movement was started, and I have not heard anything from that group. And so that is a really, really frightening thing, because Me Too, I don't think, well, as far as I'm concerned, I don't really think that it's associated with a particular sex or gender. But people who have been abused or, you know, and dealing with stuff of that nature. So this case has really opened my eyes, and I feel like a lot of others' eyes, to the fact that men do get abused. And I think Johnny Depp's sister, she noted that they were abused as children. And when she looked at their marriage, she saw a reflection, like she saw a flashback of their childhood. And so a lot of aspects played a role into why he was abused, the way he was abused, although he was a man. That people's past play huge roles into who they are, even today. And so I don't know. I feel very torn because while I wish this on no one, I think this high profile case had to happen for a lot of people to understand that men get abused as well.
Just a quick interjection. Me Too actually is for sexual abuse. It for both male and female, but it's not for abuse, just regular physical abuse. Not regular, but like it's not just for physical abuse, it's for sexual abuse.
Yeah, I just was going to read that. It says, this is an article that I'm reading from Vox, and it says, Tarana Burke started the Me Too campaign more than 10 years ago, and her goal was to spread a message for survivors. You're heard, you're understood. And she said she started with the intent to give people a sense of the magnitude of the problem surrounding the impact of sexual violence and its prevalence among society. So yes, it's not for domestic violence, but more sexual violence. But I think it still stands that more should have been said by not just that movement, but a lot of organizations that have started around the world that fight against domestic violence. And I didn't really see any mainstream ones.
I was going to say that during the trial, a lot of persons asked why Johnny Depp had stayed or even got married to her. But I think it's also important to look at his history. He did come from an abusive home. And growing up, it is said that his mother used to abuse him and his sister as well. So I think because he came from that background, he almost saw abuse as being normal. And that kind of transpired into his relationship. And also his sister in the case, I've mentioned that she's about to be his ex-wife now, had called him a old man and just fat. So she just wasn't like physically abusive to him. She also was verbally and mentally abusive as well. And I think that's an important point to put out there.
Yeah, we actually talked about that in our lives. And we were also talking about when you're in an abusive relationship and you have children, what effects it could have on them. And like Jade said, a prime example is that he was abused by his mother. So he grew up in an environment where maybe he thought it was normal, or maybe he was conditioned to think, that he did something deserving of being abused. So sometimes it's not as simple as to say, get up and leave. Sometimes it's you're literally, I don't want to say emotionally damaged, but that's what it is. You're emotionally drawn and attached to this person, even if you don't want to, even if you may feel as though I don't want them to make me feel like garbage. I don't want to stay in this verbally or physically abusive relationship, but you feel as though that is what you deserve, or you feel as though maybe this is normal. This is what I signed up for. So we don't know what's necessarily running through his head, but there is a lot of reasons that people may stay in abusive relationships. But what's important is he got out and he's now telling his story. And I'm kind of glad that it happened in this way so that he actually has like proof, like recordings showing that what this lady did to him and with the things that she said to him. Because I honestly think otherwise, if he had just come out and say, oh, I'm being abused, people would laugh at him because he's a man, literally. And then the next thing would be if he was to retaliate, then the tables would have been turned. And then she would be saying that she was getting domestically beaten by her husband, not even taking into account what she may have done to him. So very I think there's a reason that it happened this way, and I'm just glad that he's able to say his piece. And it just shows the way that we also have to protect men as well, because I feel a lot of times people take men in there, and what society says, they have to be strong, they can't show emotions and all of this stuff. We tend to take that for granted, and we fail to realize that, hey, men go through stuff too. And this shouldn't be something that's normalized or accepted by society. We need to stand up for them too.
I agree. And then also too, I think what persons need to take in account of is Johnny Depp has been around for a long time, particularly in Hollywood, and he has dated a lot of celebrities. And in his track record, I mean, from what I've known, none of his exes have ever came out and said that he was abusive to them or was harmful in any kind of way. Yeah, he did have this image of being a bad boy in the sense of partying and so forth, but nobody ever actually saw him as a threat. And I don't think that persons in the public have really taken into account to looking at Amber's backtrack to see how she used to deal in her relationships. Because maybe this is something that is common for her, that she acts this way and nobody really was aware of it.
Not to backtrack, but sometimes I think that when we see these types of issues, we think that the person who sits there and withstands it needs a reason. Like they came from a hurt home or they have some sort of mental issue. But sometimes these people are very vindictive and they're great at manipulating you into thinking that you are the problem or you are the issue. I've heard multiple sources say that she acted a certain way to entice him. And then when she had gotten what she wanted, which is married, she became her true self, quote unquote, her true self, and she began to abuse him. And I think it's sad that he has to have so much evidence to prove this abuse, because there's cases, there are multiple cases where women have been abused and they didn't have much in terms of evidence, and the man is still wrongfully prosecuted for it. And that is, it's just a stigma that I think we definitely need to focus on more. I had actually been watching the court case because they have it all on YouTube, I believe, and it's kind of funny, but the situation isn't funny, but it's just funny because he's dealing with the court case with dry humor, because essentially her lawyers are bullying him because he'll say something and they'll stop him immediately in his tracks or make him question himself. And it's just gaslighting. The whole case is gaslighting, and it's just to defame his character. Even at some point, her lawyers started reading tabloid headlines that are saying negative things about him, negative things that are not proven, to essentially persuade the jury into seeing him as someone he may or may not be, because those tabloid headlines are not proven. So it's, the whole case is just interesting, and how they're dealing with it in court is interesting. And they're trying to make her seem like someone she's not, because we know for a fact, we don't know for a fact, but there's been evidence that's been shared online of very heinous acts that she's done to him, like cut his finger off and defecate on his bed sheets. And there's multiple messages from her that are literally abusive.
And I think it's also notable that when she did cut off his finger, allegedly cut parts of his finger, well, abuse him. He still went out and did his job. And, you know, because there's a video going around where he was at a hospital or something of the sort, and he had a little girl on his lap. Because, you know, sometimes they just go to hospitals to cheer up the sick children. And he still went and did that, although he was dealing with abuse himself. I think that says a lot about his character. And for him, like you said, Anise, for him to need so much evidence, and the evidence that he has, I don't even know why, like, the case still needs to be prolonged, because she literally outed herself. And I'm hoping that the ending result plays out in his favor, because with courts, you just never know. But this case is really, like, it has you on your seat. And I did watch a few of the court proceedings, and Johnny Depp, I mean, he's a man after my own heart. I grew up with this man. So for me, with or without him having evidence, I think his personality, his reputation, I think that says a lot for himself, because I don't, regardless of what she says, it's my personal belief that, my opinion, that he didn't do it. I mean, he has the evidence, but it's just the vibes he gives. And I know a lot of people could play it off, but I don't know. I feel like he's a good person.
Speaking of, when you said like he had that charity event that he went to, when they had divorced, she had said that she was going to donate the money from her divorce settlement to the ACLU, and she never did. So that's also something to take in consideration, that while he was doing charity work, she never went through with the charity work that she had offered to do.
Yeah, and I think she used 100 grand of his money to give to the ACLU. So I'm like, nothing she says stands true.
Back to what Anissa was saying with seeing like the court cases and stuff like that, with the gaslighting from her lawyers and stuff. I saw this clip on Facebook where the lawyer had asked him a question and he tried to answer the question, and then the lawyer basically said, "Oh well, we hope that you take the court's time to consideration," basically implying that he was wasting the court's time. And Johnny Depp was like, "No, I'm not wasting the court's time." But my thing is, how could you say that to a man who's on trial, or not who's on trial, but who has a case against someone, basically implying that they're wasting someone's time? Like, how could you do that? And I also have another article here, which has the top by Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's trial, that they saw no injuries on Heard. So on May 27, 2016, ex-wife, Amber Heard, arrived at the Los Angeles courthouse, and she had sought a temporary restraining order, and she showed up with a clear mark on her face. And I think this is the mark that they said that she covered up with this Milani concealer, I think it was, or a concealer palette. And basically, she showed up with a mark, and the officers who arrived at the scene 6 days prior to what she was talking about, the so-called abuse, said that there was no marks on her face. And Johnny Depp said that he hadn't hit her, and the officer said that there was no indication, like no physical bruises that could show, basically. So basically, they believe that she put a little bruise on her face. And honestly, it didn't look like a bruise. I'm not even gonna lie, but that's just my opinion. But I feel like what you guys are saying, like back to her character reference and the things that she does, it's kind of showing on her behalf that she's not the most honest person. And it just goes to show that, yeah, I feel like women have a lot of power when it comes to what they say in terms of accusing people of things. And I don't think it's fair of her to be making these accusations against this man, because he lost a lot as a result of what she did. And that's not fair to him at all. And at the end of the day, even if he wins the trial, this is what he said. He said, even if he really wins the trial, he still lost, because he lost deals, he lost movies, TV shows, stuff that he was going to do. Basically, his life got sidetracked because of allegations that she made that, according to him, aren't even true. And the evidence is starting to reveal that a lot of the things that she's saying isn't lining up. So it's just really sad, because I really feel for him, because it's like, what did he do to deserve this? Like, why would you lie on someone like that?
This is an issue that a lot of people who have survived from abuse or even sexual abuse have experienced, where they would want to speak up, but speaking up also defames you, especially if the person is acquitted from the accusations. You still end up looking a certain way in the public's eye, and that's something that we have to work on as a people, trying to be more accepting.
Yeah, and like, I didn't think it was cool how Disney dropped him from the movie just because of the allegations. I honestly feel like they should have waited it out, or if they wanted to put the movie on pause, but to say drop him and you didn't even know if it was true. Now, if he was convicted and was sent to jail, that's a difference. But I feel like sometimes people are a bit too, they jump the gun on some things. And I don't think that that was fair to him. And he said that if they offered him $300 million, I think he said 100 alpacas or a million alpacas, that he still would not go back to Disney to act as, with the man name, who was being the Pirates of the Caribbean, who he acted. He basically said he wouldn't act in the Pirates of the Caribbean
again. Jack Sparrow.
Yes, he wouldn't go back to act as Jack Sparrow if they offered him $300 million. And I think he said 100 million alpacas. So that just goes to show you how disgusted he is with the company, which in I do not disagree with him at all, because in actuality, it seems as though he was the victim. And instead of them actually trying to get the full story, they just jumped the gun. It's like, oh, his ex-wife said he beat him, so we don't want nothing to do with him because we don't want a bad reputation or we don't want a bad press. And I don't necessarily think that's cool, because even if they feel as though they weren't taking a stance, they still took a stance, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. So, like Anissa's saying, we have to change the stigma, and we have to actually care about getting to the truth of the matter before we jump to conclusions or jump the gun.
I think that he's gonna be okay though, even though he had lost a lot of deals in movies. Just knowing the great work that he does, and he is a talented actor, I think after all this is done, persons are going to gravitate to him more, especially when they see the details of the case. I think it was recently that Amber was diagnosed with borderline disorder. Like, she has several personalities, they said, or something like that. So with all of this going into the conversation of the case, I think that more persons are going to lean towards his side and have grace and actually feel sympathy for not actually giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Recently, there was a story that broke the internet, Bahamian Facebook and Twitter, I guess you could say, I don't know. Basically, it was this young lady, I can't remember how old she is, but she is relatively young. I would say she's in debt with us, probably in her 20s, early 20s, or maybe even a little bit younger than that. Apparently, she had lured her ex-boyfriend to somewhere, I can't remember, an apartment, I think, and her and her cousin basically beat the boy with a bat and break his legs. Now, originally when I saw the story, I was like, how could they let this woman out? Because I think they charged her $1,500 in damages and then $1,000 fine. I was like, how could they let this woman get away with beating this man and breaking his legs? Like, that's a double standard. That was originally my first thought. I was like, that's a double standard, right? And then today I go on Facebook, comes to find out she was getting abused by him, and she did that in retaliation to him abusing her, basically. And I saw pictures with like her getting beat or whatever. Now, this is alleged because no official news source has come out with that information as yet, but that specific information of him abusing her. But people showed the pictures, and yeah. So if that is the case, I guess it was more of a retaliation. I can understand why it was ruled the way it was ruled. Because if she had just break his legs, I was like, this woman need to be in jail. But it seems as though it was a domestic abuse situation, dispute between the two of them. So anyone have any thoughts on that?
Okay, but like from what you said, because I don't know the case, it sounded like he was set up in a way, because you said her cousin was involved too.
Yes, I think it was her cousin, but I know it was another person for sure was involved in the it was a setup, but apparently he had been beaten up prior too. Now, I'm not gonna say that I agree with her luring him and beating him, but if he did beat her, if he was fighting her and beating up and boxing up, I mean, me personally, I feel like that's idiots, because you can't beat up on somebody and expect them not to do something back to you. Now, I don't necessarily agree with her methods, but hey, everybody deals with stuff differently.
I get what you're saying, because it was an abusive situation. I agree that she has the right to defend herself. But the only thing about it is like the timeline, because I could understand like if they were in the moment and he physically was attacking her and then she defended herself back. But in that moment, she kind of planned to basically jump him. So
yeah, because that was my act.
So I mean, but I understand, like you said too, Shanae, when you do stuff onto other persons, you also know that they might react differently. Well, I think maybe she just like reached her breaking point, which is like justifiable in my eyes.
Yeah, I agree, because, and then also it may have been a, I have to get the upper hand, because normally men are stronger than women, especially if she 5 foot or 5 foot two and he's 6 foot or 5'10", he's gonna have the upper hand or not. So maybe she was like, I doubted this baby, not on me. I could try get him in a, you know, in a situation, because it's kind of hard if I 5'4" and you 6'2" and you 100 pounds heavier than me, while you beat me, it's kind of hard for me to retaliate. So maybe her luring him in was what she felt was the best way to get the upper hand and fight back. So that's what I'm thinking happened, because yeah. Now this if, because this is all alleged at this current juncture, but if this is how it went, then I understand maybe why she did it like that. But I do wish that she had reported it, so she could at least have a paper trail to say, hey, this dude did X, Y, and Z to me and blah, 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 blah. You know?
I was gonna say, so like, but I could understand why she didn't report as well, because in those situations, sometimes they may even feel scared to report. But like, did it say, like, after this happened, like, what was the aftermath? Like, what's happening now with them?
Well, she was charged $1,000, and then she had to pay $1,500 in damages to him. I mean, and obviously, he still has broken legs, so he's gonna, you know, I guess, recover from that. I don't know exactly what happened with the accomplice, but I know that she was, in total, she had to pay about $2,500. So basically she kind of got away without jail time, if I remember correctly.
I don't know. For me, if I was the person being abused, I don't think I would do what she did though. I mean, she did what she did, and probably that was the best thing she could think of, but like Jade said, they weren't in a relationship. And so I would need to know whether or not he was still abusing her, although they weren't together. Because now she may have just started a whole war that really had died when they had left each other. Because now, here it is, a two of y'all out. He has friends, he has family, he has people who is going to be hurt that had happened to him, and the result of them, of the girl just pretty much getting a slap on the wrist because of what she did. I mean, after what she did. And so that may now spark a whole retaliation, and that's the big thing about gangs. You know, one person killed this person, and so now they got to kill this person. So violence is just really never the answer. Like, really never the answer. She really should have done what Shanae suggested and went to the police and let them sort that out. Because I know a lot of attention has been going on gender-based violence. And so I would hope that the police now would take very seriously these matters that come to them, especially when it comes to abusive relationships. And so I would have just hoped someone would have advised her to go that route, because now you don't know the danger she's in now. And I think that may be something on her mind now that it all has transpired. I don't know. I just wouldn't have done it, because that's where my mind goes.
Yeah, I understand where you're
now. He's a bitch. He got two broken legs. Somebody gonna have to pay for that, is what I'm thinking. If the good Lord doesn't touch his heart, somebody gonna have to pay for that. And I hope that it doesn't get that way. And I hope I hope adults intervene in this, because it seems like it's just a bunch of children doing crazy children stuff. Children these days kind of stuff. So I am hoping that adults intervene and kind of resolve the situation, or or even start a service where when things like this happen, they have people there to intervene so they could cool the matter down and not have it, you know, kind of amplify. I don't know. What are y'all thoughts?
Oh, I was saying, based on backtracking to what Bethany had said, referring to whether or not they were together, and she was saying that they opened a whole can of worms. I'm assuming that maybe they were recently broken up because of the fact that when she called, he came. Because if you were apart for, you know, so long, then if my ex called me, I'm not picking up the phone. So I'm assuming maybe it was just, they just broke up, or maybe they break up on and off on a regular basis. We don't know the story necessarily, like, in that, to that extent, because, you know, the news don't really go that in depth. But I think maybe they had recently broken up for the fact that when she called, he decided to go.
Yeah, I do not stand by violence in retaliation of violence in any way, especially since that's an issue that we have in this country where, like Bethany had said, everyone wants tit for tat. If you hurt my family member or me, then I hurt you back. That's not okay. But we have seen, like, even with Carissa Culmer, where a woman has been battered and went to the police on multiple occasions and nothing has come of it. And I'm sure men have gone to the police over here on multiple occasions and nothing has come of it. So it's a very scary situation. Sorry, I had to pause because somebody was here. It's a very scary situation to be in. And I do hope that they do follow through with the initiative that they had said that they were going to do. I think it was Lisa Ramming, the Minister of Social Services, who said that they were going to be doing an initiative where they would basically have a safe space or a safe haven for battered individuals to be, but it would be not, it wouldn't be public knowledge where these places are. Now, I'm not sure how that's actually going to work because the Bahamas is so small and NASA is so small that the information would leak. I just think that they need to have several places that are readily available and readily known that are just heavily guarded and secured by police officers. And they do, like Bethany had said, that we do need a specific task force for this issue, especially since it's coming up so much more nowadays.
Yes. So back to what we basically was talking about last episode, we were basically just saying that we need to have more resources for these people. We need to have better equipped police officers, better training maybe. Because I genuinely feel like, not all, because obviously you always have a few bad apples, but sometimes these situations aren't handled as best as they can, you know, and we've heard stories like Annie said about Carissa Culmer, who had left or who had made reports. And even if they had recanted or whatever, I feel like it should still be taken seriously because obviously they were in threat. They were scared enough to call the police. Nobody's gonna call the police because they think it's fun. I mean, in that situation at least. So I genuinely feel like if you feel like they call in too much, that maybe there should be something put in place that could forcefully remove these people. I mean, we're looking at other things, such as I think one thing we were talking about was mandatory evacuation. So maybe there could be something where if you call the police 5 times that you have done a psych evaluation or a home tour, a wellness check or something of the sort to deter these type of things, because they may be reaching out for help, but they can't necessarily move away at that current time because they are literally in fear for their life. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, oh, they just want to get beat upon. And I think we have to change that mindset as Bahamians. Oh, damn, my problem. If they won't be stupid and get beat upon, then that on them. You can't say stuff like that to people because abuse is a mental thing too. It's not just a, oh, you wouldn't say you love them and you can sit there and let them beat upon me. Oh, they ain't gonna be me, child. That's things Bahamians like to say. Like, no, you have to be sympathetic with these people and understand that it's so much deeper than just getting up and leaving, especially when you have children, or this may be the only person that they know, this may be their high school sweetheart who is to help them, or their little boyfriend they get when he was 18 and they not nobody to check for them. Like, it's so much it's so much to consider, you know? And it's not just, sometimes it's just not as easy to walk away. So I think that's something that, as Bahamians, we need to work on our attitudes towards these type of things. And we need to realize that we are our brother's keeper. Like, we have to help each other. And I think the safe houses are a good idea. I think we truly have to intervene more.
Like I was saying, like, before, it's not as easy to realize sometimes when you are a part of the situation, because these people, they're master manipulators, whether or not they realize it. I've been in a situation where I felt that I was manipulated, but I didn't really realize until I was out of that situation. And that's why sometimes you just have to take the blessings that are passed on you when these people remove themselves from your life, and take that as God telling you to move on, whether or not, and it's hard. It's definitely going to be hard at first. It's going to be very, very hard, because you become kind of addicted to the person, whether or not they're abusing you. No, when they abuse you, you become addicted to them. It's a weird cycle. I'm sure there's some medical way to explain it, but it's hard to get out of. It's very hard, especially when you mix in love and adoration, or even family members. Blood is also something that does affect people and cause them to stay in very emotionally abusive cycles.
I think it also comes to, like, when you stay in those kind of situations, if you're in it for so long, that's all that person becomes to know. So that's their new normal. And because that is just, like, the norm for them, it's hard for them to break away. And that's all that they know. So it just keeps on continuing. They accept it as being their reality. And I believe that that's why a lot of persons stay around for so long, because they get so used to the cycle of being so up and down and chaotic that maybe they don't know how to accept something that isn't that way.
You're right, because once you're in a very loud house, you start to learn how to tune out the noise. And I think that's what happens a lot of the time. They tune out the little snarky comment. They tune out the mean gesture. They think, oh, he only hit me once, he ain't gonna do it again. And it just becomes normal. And let's just try not to make these things normal. Let's try to undo what the norm is and create a new, more positive norm.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing about communities. Once you live in a disassembled community, it kind of puts you in a perspective like, this is normal. This is normal. I see this all the time. And so one of the things I want listeners to take away from this episode is that, you know, number one, men can be abused as well, but also we need to look out for each other. And once we start, I mean, you don't have to look out for every single person and put everyone above yourself and, you know, put that heavy burden on yourself. But when you can, look out for someone else, because you never know how that small act of loving kindness and care can go for that person, because they may not even be used to someone caring for them in that way. So you guys, what are some of the key elements you think our listeners can take from this episode?
No, I just wanted to add, because of what you said, a man can be abused, which is very true. But I also think it's important to mention that men also have to try not to be afraid to speak out. Because if they're not being able to come out and say, hey, this is happening to me, and willing to go through maybe being criticized, then we aren't going to be able to support them or be there for them. So that's the first step that they can do. Try to be open that, hey, something is happening in my relationship, and it's like, I'm scared, and I'm actually getting abused right now. And say it in a way that you're not feeling so shameful.
That's very true, Dre. Very, very true.
I think for me, I think, like what Jade said, I feel in order for people to feel comfortable enough to speak up, we have to learn, like I said earlier, many times as a community, We'll stop blaming the victims. That is our favorite thing to do, blame the victim. Oh, why are you staying there? And then when she tell you that, when she go back, you call him a stupid. Are you calling him a fool for letting that girl beat up on him? And he's mad. These are things that we tend to say. We're not sensitive. I feel as though sometimes we're not sympathetic. Sometimes we just say whatever comes to our mind. And we're like, well, that's how I feel, so I can let you know, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with letting people know how you feel, especially when they ask for your input. But it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And instead of just criticizing or making them feel lesser than, maybe you should offer solutions. Okay, hey, I know about this place that helps people who've been through domestic violence, people who've been through sexual assault. Just call this number, email this person. Maybe they can help you. Or if you are in the position to help in terms of letting them crash at your house, or maybe giving them a little bit of funds to get away for the weekend, if that's something that you could do, if you're financially able to do that. Stuff like that. Like, you can't just criticize, and tell them they need to get out of the situation, but you're not helping them get out of the situation. Sometimes people don't have the means to just move out today or tomorrow. If you want to move into a new place, what you need first, last, and security deposit. It don't take, minimum wage in this country is what, 8-10? If you are the person who's making minimum wage, which I feel a lot of people are, you can't just pick up tomorrow and say, I want to leave and have enough money saved to move out. Most people don't operate like that. Most people's lives don't work that way. So, I mean, unless you offering them something, I feel like you shouldn't be criticizing them, because you never know, it could have been you. You know what I'm saying? So put yourself in other people's shoes and try to understand them, try to be empathetic and sympathetic, and just offer assistance as best as you can before you decide to openly criticize their decisions. Because I feel like that's something we love to do. We love to jump down people's throat and to criticize them for whatever they may be going through. But, you know, just try to be kind. Try to understand. Even if you have never went through it yourself, try to understand maybe why they're doing this, or why they're staying there, or why they feel so connected to this person, because it's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, and to elaborate off of what Shanae said, look up ways to deal with someone who is battered, because it is a very psychologically it's something that is very psychological and deep. So there's probably certain ways that you can get to someone who is harder to reach in that type of situation. Definitely, if you're in that situation, heed the signs, listen to your gut, because as much as your gut may not be scientifically proven, sometimes it's the best thing to listen to. It's almost always right.
With that being said, we would also love to wish all the women out there a happy International Girls in ICT Day. ICT meaning Information, Communication, and Technology. As you all know, we are women on this panel with the exception of Dudley, and these fields are normally male-dominated, and sometimes it can be difficult as women to navigate this space. So we want to encourage you to continue to follow your dreams and to be great. Today we had an insightful conversation. We hoped you enjoyed. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Candid. And if you have any thoughts or any suggestions as to what we should cover in another show, you can leave a comment under our post for this episode on Facebook. And you can follow us at Candid242. We are also on Instagram under the same handle. We would love to hear your thoughts. Keep it real, Bahamas.